Access number 31400, Reel 1.
That's right, Reel 1. Can you tell me where and when you were born, please?
Yeah, I was born in Basden on the 18th of February 1984.
And what about your family? Can you tell me what they did?
My mum used to work for MK Electrics. My dad, who I'm not really saying, used to be an electrician. However, my stepdad, Kevin, used to work at MK Electrics before becoming a driving examiner in the Essex area.
And what about your early education?
I grew up in around Basden, which is obviously in Essex. I went to Northlands Infant and Junior School. From there, I went to Chalverton School, which is in Pitsea. I left school at 16. I didn't pursue college. Not really. I didn't get really good grades. It was just.
What about any interest? Did you have an interest in the military?
Not really. My best friend, Court Callus, who's actually in B Company 1 with Langland, he joined before me. And to be quite fair, I actually joined for a bet, to be honest with you.
How did that come about then?
It was in Northern Ireland. I was at the time working for Newham Council, window fitting. I wanted some trousers really for work. And he said, well, basically, if you want some, join. So I did.
And how did you go about joining? Where did you go and do that?
In the Essex area, there's Southend, Colchester, and Chelmsford Careers Offices. I went down to Chelmsford. Basically said some more interest in joining. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to go Infantry 1 World Angling, mainly because my best friend was in the battalion, and it's a local regiment.
You didn't have any thoughts of any other sort of branch of the service at all, did you?
Not really. I was quite interested in the parachute regiment. But that was just by what was on the news and obviously everyone.
When was that? Was that at the time of them being deployed anywhere?
Joining the army was around about beginning of 2003, which was by then the build up in Q8 was well underway for Operation Telic.
So you were watching all that and thinking that might be quite an interesting thing to pursue?
I'd obviously gone down and started my application rolling. By that point, I was collecting paper clippings of Telic 1, I was generally interested. It wasn't a case of either as a war vest join. It was a case of I'd already started the ball rolling, and Iraq, well, Telic 1 had kicked off.
And I take it you were kind of seeing the stuff on the TV that was showing what people were doing.
Yeah, you only see on the media what they want you to see, and it's an opener anyway for people who have never seen it or experienced it in the first place. What these places are like, and I thought, by then I was quite ignorant in the way the army is, due to the fact that I didn't know that if we went out to somewhere you'd start there for a large amount of time. In the process of me joining the army, there was only Afghanistan, which was in Kabul, and Northern Ireland and Kosovo. They were the three real main tours to go to. So when I joined, I knew that I'd have a chance to go to Afghanistan, possibly Northern Ireland, and then it became clear after a few years that I would be going out to the Gulf on Telic 6.
So obviously you've gone to the careers office, you've got yourself sorted out, you know you're going in. What's the first stage of your military training?
Prior to being accepted into the army, you come down to ATR Purbright, ATC Purbright as it's known now, for your RSC, which is a recruit selection centre. From there on, you go for a number of tests, which is, first and foremost is your medical. If you fail out, you go until you get referred for 3-6 months, a year, whatever long it would be. Providing you pass that, you then go through your fitness stages, which is your mile and a half run, and that's quite important depending on what you want to do. When you get 10 and a half minutes for infantry, if you fail that, then, and you've got 11 minutes, you had 11 minutes for something else, for instance, you'd have to more than likely take that job because you wouldn't be suitably fit for...
What were your levels of fitness like at that time?
Outstanding, actually. I was really surprised with myself because I'd done a lot of running at school. I was in, you know, my school cross-country team, athletics. But I was told from a young age I'd never be able to do that anyway. I was born 3 months premature. I weighed 2 pounds 2, and I'd both my lungs collapsed. I was told, you know, I'd never be able to do fitness, never be able to run, never be able to smoke, and now I do all three. So, you know, it's been a mass turnaround.
Do you know, you said when you had your medical,
yeah,
was that something that was considered at the time? You know, obviously you said that past history that you had.
No, because if obviously, like any job, like most physical jobs, if you've got asthma or anything, or epilepsy, or they want to see, you know, continuous 4 years of, you know, I'll say a clean bill of health, so to speak, where it hadn't affected me, I just went in and I just done it. And I'd done my two days. Got told, yeah, well done, you've passed selection. Go at your careers office and then get ready for your...
But that was your
phase
one, right, was it?
No, I went to RTC Catterick, Infantry Training Centre Catterick, up in Yorkshire. Yeah. I was based in Finby Barracks for 6 months.
And how does that work when you start your sort of phase one training?
I left home, went up there on the train, ready for, I think it was like midday, you had to be there for, it was August 4th actually. And you go in, they give you an introduction to RTC Catterick, and basically what you're in training is going to entail. You then go off, go and find your room, come down, and they say, right, you know, tomorrow morning this is what we're going to do, blah, blah, blah. From then on, I remember the first week was boring as hell, it was all paperwork and...
Just somewhat induction into being a soldier, isn't
yeah.
it, actually?
Yeah, like, you know, right now, I think I wrote out a will. I gave them my emergency contact details, you know, so forth. So I had a bit of, well, they had information on you, which then went into the system. You know, all your pay details and everything else. So I remember that week was really boring, actually.
Is somebody showing you what you have to do at that stage? Do you have somebody in charge of you as a group?
Yeah, you get given a... Section commander. My section commander was he's actually a colour sergeant in Royal Anglia now, but he was a corporal at the time. It was Corporal Nathan Love. He was my section commander for 6 months. And he was glaring. You know, everything he taught us was he had real professionalism about him. You know, you get some people who say, you know, say like, you know, they weren't really interested, or you know, they're a bit. Out of order, but he was right. He'd give you a chance. Obviously, if you screwed up, you know, like anything in training, because you've got the first 3 months conversion from civvy to soldier. I'd say you get hammered, but you'd get told off, and it makes you think, well, you know.
It was a process of breaking you down, really, from what you'd done as a civilian into getting into the army life, really.
Yeah, because a lot of people obviously didn't think it'd be like that. Obviously, you go in and you think, oh, it's going to be an easy ride, but, you know, you're up at 6 in the morning, you're doing your block jobs, making your bed, ironing your kit, and you're on parade for 10 to 8. You know, you're getting inspected every day, and you think, you know, why am I doing this? But then, you know, when you look back at it, you think, well, it's made you who you are today.
Did you have any kind of idea of what was going to happen, because your mate was in the
army? He just said, you know, it's going to be hard, but just get down, just get your head down and deal with it, and that's what I did.
Are you given sort of instruction in, you know, how the army does things, how you lay out your kit, how you iron your trousers, that sort of stuff? Are you given that?
Yeah,
that
you're kind of instruction as well? In Catterick, because they used to do room and locker inspections, you used to have you had a layout which they'd give you, and they'd say, right, 10 to 8, we're coming around, just to buy your beds, and if your locker weren't set out how it would be set out, you'd get 6 and 10s. Well, at the time, you'd get 6 and 10s, which is 6 PM, 10 PM show parades. You know, it could be for having a jacket not iron properly, or something. You know, the first couple of times I'll give you a bit of leeway because you're new to it, but after a few weeks, you know, you should be used to it, ironing your kit every day, your boots, have your locker layout how it should be, you know, civvies and everything else locked in one locker, your military lockers open for inspection. And
at that stage, are they usually going to find fault whatever, even if it was really fairly good?
Not really. We had, you know, we had some people who were really bad. You know, they just couldn't grasp it.
And so they're not adjusting to army life really at all?
No, you know, some people didn't want to be there, so they'd do everything just to, you know, get everyone else in trouble. Like, but generally, if you had a generally happy, well, I say happy, if you had a generally good room, you'd get left alone. They'd come in and go, yeah, nice one, out they go.
So you take a kind of a collective responsibility, do you, for your room, your group of people are in that room?
Yeah, we used to help each other out. Like, if one person was good at ironing, you know, I wasn't good at ironing, I was crap. You know, and obviously people learn, and there was obviously people who had re-enlisted, so they knew what the crack was. They'd give you a hand if you, you know, done something for them. It's, you know, you'd get jacked on a few times, but that's the way it is.
But that sort of building, is that sort of building the sort of team spirit bit that you get?
Yeah, in a way. Your army crew, you know, they're all from different regiments as well. They're not all one Royal Anglian. There was obviously only room with PWRR, two Royal Anglian, one RRF, two RRF. You know, it's, you just, so you meet, this is how you meet people from other units. Obviously, those are all Queen's Division. And it's weird because you see them on tour and you think, fucking hell. Last time I saw you was like 5 or 6 years ago, and you know, But
what else are you getting introduced to? Obviously, after that, you know, you need your first week paperwork and you sorting yourself out. Are you introduced to weapons at all at that stage?
Not at that stage. You go down and start doing your fitness, you get a training program with your lessons, you get introduction to weapon. Like, you, before you mainly handle weapons, you've got to do a weapon handling test. But obviously, the build-up to that, you get shown the parts of the weapon. So you go through rifle lesson one, which is, you know, this is an SA-80, and at the time it was an SA-80A1. So, you know, the key features on this weapon are, they go through it all broken down. You know, pass it around, have a look. You know, this is what a gas plug is, and you're like, yep, okay. And you learn the parts and you'd get tested on them, like, show me the TMH, yep, there you go. Show me the gas plug, yep, there you go. Show me the handguard, yep, there you go.
So it's familiarisation with the weapon, is it, essentially?
Yeah, they just, you know, they wouldn't just give you a weapon and go, there you go, get on with it. And it's, well, they'd be mad too, I think. But, yeah, you build up to your weapon handling test, which then, obviously, when you've passed that, you're then qualified as such to handle that weapon.
And at this stage, are you, obviously, you mentioned your fitness a little bit when you're doing your selection. Is there an emphasis then on kind of graded?
You get smashed on fitness. Fitness is up there so intense. You do fitness probably once or twice a day. You know, whether that be a run or BPFA, as it was at the time, you know, basic personal fitness assessment. Or you go for a tab and you start off with, like, nothing. Just walking with webbing and helmet attached. I mean, they'd go up to like £10, £20, then they'd go on to the CFT weight, which is 50, I think it's £50, £55. And that's an 8-mile CFT in 2 hours, which you'd have to pass, excuse me, to leave ITC Catterick. So I mean, there was a lot of tests you had to do in order to leave, which was pass your APWT, which is your annual personal weapons assessment, which every soldier has to pass to be qualified to. You know, it's the standard every year. CFT is the same, BPFA is the same, and there were just little tests what you had to do. If you were struggling, I mean, not really struggling with the training, you'd get back squatted into the course who's behind you.
Or so you go, what were you go back? How far is the course behind you usually?
2 weeks, maybe week, 2 weeks. There's always a course behind you every week, but if they feel as though you need 2 weeks to get to that standard, you get back squatted.
So it's quite an incentive to keep going, is it?
Yeah.
At that stage,
it's to improve, and if you don't improve, then obviously you're going to get back squatted until you do improve. So it's you know, training, it was good. It wasn't the army, though, if you know what I mean. It's not the army we've got now. it's training. So everyone thinks, oh, you know, this is really crap. And you think, well, when you think about it, so it's like when you meet people, when you go and do recruiting, they say, what's the army like? So I'm joining the army, and you say, right, well, you know, training's not the army. It's the army, but it's not. Because obviously it's training, it's going to be long days, you know, you're going to work weekends, and you're going to think it's really crap, but it's not the army. When you get to your unit, and you see how more relaxed it is, how much more of a chilled out environment it is, when you start to realise that's what the real army is when you go on operations.
So essentially during that first period, is it never really as intense again as you have in that training period, really?
It can be. I mean, some of the build-up training for Operation Herrick was outrageous. That challenged me, and, you know, some of that was really... I'm glad it happened, but it's at the time, you just want to cry, because it's, you know, you're carrying stuff so your eyes bleed, more or less. It's just too much, it's too intense. But when I look back at it now, and my time on Herrick, I do think to myself, you know, it done me a favour.
So it was a useful thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously everything happens for a reason. Or I think everything happens for a reason. At the time, you think, you know, why are we getting up at dog shit o'clock to go and tab around the Ulu, to then go and do an ammo replay up a massive hill, then to do an assault course, come back and do the same thing again, to go back to the assault course and do it again. And even though, you know, your body's smashed by the end of it, it helps, because, you know, there's situations, or there's been situations when you've needed to use that. You know, it's helped you out in the long run. So it's been worth it, but it's a nose at the time.
You kind of finish. What happens when you finish phase one?
You go into phase two. Your phase one's your conversion to civilian to soldier. Now, if you're in ATR Purbright, training as a recruit, you ever pass that parade after 3 months, you then go to, say, if you're RLC, to deep cut and do your phase two, which is your skill phase. But that's, you know, that's you. You've had your pass out, you're just training to do your job, and then that's it. In Catterick, you've passed phase one, they go, yep, well done. I think you have like a week off, or weekend off, whatever, you know. See you Monday for phase two, and you're like, yep, okay. And that's your skills phase, that's your conversion then from soldier to infantryman.
Right, so are there a set of, well, I mean, what's the programme there from what you'd done previously? What are you learning, what are you putting into?
You're just putting all your skills, you're putting your skills you've learned to become a soldier. You're getting more intensive training, becoming an infantryman, you know, which is a lot more intense. You've got your TACEX's, your tactical exercises 1, 2 and 3, you've got your main exercise, you know, TACEX 2 is your digging in phase, you know, down to like stage 3, you know, which you know, basically you're digging all night. You know, your TACEX 1 is probably go out into a harbour area, have some sentries out, and then when you get down, then they go, right, when you're in a harbour area, you find a place, you put your kit down, you land on your kit facing outwards for 20 minutes until they deem it safe to get to, you know, your routine.
And at that stage, are you learning, obviously, how to attack positions?
Not yet. You're learning how to secure and occupy a harbour area. And then you go from there to learning how to patrol, you know, your types of patrol, you know, may it be staggered or heavy, you know, staggered or file, or arrowhead, or, you know, whatever, you everything goes up. I mean you're learning, at the same time you're learning that, you're learning tactics for section attacks. And you start off with your section attacks and obviously build up to platoon, company attacks.
Are there certain basic principles that exist, obviously, within a section attack, how you do it, how you carry it out?
Yeah, you've got your principles. You know, you got your 6-section battle drills, and you've got your... There's mnemonics for everything. And it's the easy way to learn, to understand them. And once you do it, you get used to it, being in a rifle company, where I was in C company, or when I was in C company, you used to do section attacks all the time. On, you know, TESX or an exercise, you get used to it, so you know what's going to happen. Or you say you know what's going to happen, you understand, they say, right, Charlie fire team, give fire support, dealt with the fire team, you know, advance forward, you then go through in your pairs, to assault the position, may it be right flanking or popping smoke and, you know, flanking around the far support to, you know, crack direct or whatever. You're learning it all the time. And it, even now, you know, it's, even though I don't do it as much for now being in support company, that's, you know, that's a whole, that's a different element of the job. You still have to know it and you still remember it.
So does it become second nature at that stage, really? Well, not at that stage, but obviously for the rest of your career, you kind of got it.
Yeah, you always know, or you should always know, you know, how to, because you never know what job you're doing whether you, when you know the needs must.
What else are you doing? Have you been introduced to your weapons at that stage?
Yeah, you know, you've done your lessons on SAE, GPMG, LSW, and that was what was really sort of out at the time. I say out, you know, they didn't bring out the GMG, didn't have 50 cals, and the, you know, the main weapons we would use is probably LSW, SAE, A1, A2, GPMG, you know, for the rest would be support weapons. Might be, you know, Milan, Javelin, anti-tank weapon system, sniper, you know, you get an introduction to it. You know, this is the L96, but you wouldn't use it because it's a specialist weapon.
Of the small group that you were using, obviously, how proficient do you have to be on those at that stage?
For your main bit, it's quite critical because if you, you know, some of them tests you have to you have to pass. So it's not a pass or fail, it's you have to pass in order to continue your training. If not, you get backswatted. And if you fail weapon handling test, you know, they'll say, right, okay, this way you've gone wrong, let's try it again. So you do it again, yep, okay, happy day's done. But that definitely, obviously, what you learn in training is going to also stick with you. It's the way you're going to do things for more than likely the rest of your career. Even when you get taught new techniques, you're still going to do the same things you've done because it's what you've learnt first of all.
And at that stage, do you do any exercise out in the field, like learning to live outside, that sort of stuff at all?
Yeah, they're your tactical exercises, where at this point, you know, you're learning to, you know, you're digging in, you're occupying harbour areas. You know, if you're taking a building, you know how to work the rotation for stagging. You know, roaming sentries, you know, you learn everything. This, like I said, it's what you learn in training. It depends really whether you're a good soldier or not, because if you're going to not bother learning and you come to your unit and you're crap, then there's no point being here because you're just a liability to yourself and everyone else, putting everyone else in danger.
And at that stage, obviously, where were you doing this training? Was it out in Moors near Catterick?
The back area of Catterick. Yeah, it's just a massive area. It's horrible. I went up into some worse places than that, but it's, I mean, your final exercise is in Gaelic Head in Scotland, and I remember that was the coldest I've ever been in my life. That was absolutely horrendous, and it was boggy and it was cold and it was, you know, crap.
What happens at the end of the phase two?
You pass out of training. Your last week, your last week's your drill week, where you're learning your pass off parade for your family to come down and, you know, see you and go, oh, look at my son, look, hello. You know, where you're in number two service uniform.
Fairly obvious question, but I imagine that's quite an occasion for being proud of what you've done, is it, and for your family too?
Yes, it is an achievement, because even though, you know, it's all changed from when I did mine, you know, what is it? It used to be harder. So passing out and doing it was like, you know, you've achieved something. Because you do see people who get kicked out of the army for not being good enough. And you see people leaving the army because they can't hack it, because it's too difficult. You know, which is a shame, because, you know, some of them are your mates. But, you know, if you can't do it, it's not your fault.
And during that training period, you get to, you know, you kind of adjust to army life. Do you get used to, you know, rubbing along with people, getting to know them, you know, living with different people from different backgrounds, that sort of thing?
Yeah, you know, it's, I think getting used to army life, I mean, because it was in Yorkshire, it used to be something like 100 quid to get home, so I used to stay there. It was just easier. You know, so I spent 6 months away. But but that 6 months is, you know, the length of a tour. So in a way, being away from your family for 6 months, or, you know, coming home for a few weeks and so forth, is sort of getting used to going away anyway, staying away from your family. Even though you're still in the same country, you're still, in your mind, you're still thinking, you know, because it's when you spoke to, you know, the NCOs about tours and that, and they say, you know, and you ask them questions, and they tell you, you know, yeah, this is like six-month tours, or three-month tours, or four-month tours, or whatever, and you think to yourself, right, okay, well, I've done 3 months away, it's not all really, it's UK-based, but you still get that feel for it.
So it doesn't feel as daunting when you actually get down to being away from home?
No, not really, it's your job, it's...
Did some of the people, obviously, you know, when you're going through that training period, is there an element of some of the recruits you're with at that stage, is homesickness the sort of a big thing for them? That they can't do what you're saying, you know, you were getting used to?
Yeah, some of them can't, you know, they say, oh, Lord, I don't want to do this no more. Well, okay, why? So I'm gonna do it. No, okay, whether they be weak or what, you know, you don't ask. If they don't want to do it, they don't want to do it. So you're like, okay, and that's like, that's another one gone. You can start a course with, say, 70 people, you can end up with 20. Same with any course in the army. Any, you know, you can start off with 60 blokes and end up with 10. You just don't know.
Obviously, finished phase two, you passed out. Posted to Purbright?
Yep. Come to Purbright in 2003.
And were you allocated to C Company at that stage?
Yeah, I was posted in C Company, Templeton, which is Rifle Company.
How do you sort of, you know, when you join a new platoon, How do you start to fit in? What do you have to do?
I was just told when I passed out of training by my instructors, you know, go there and just be yourself. You know, obviously, everyone knows the army's changed from, you know, how it used to be. You know, and I was told, you know, basically go there and just, you know, don't gob it. Just go and keep yourself to yourself and speak when spoken to, and, you know, you'll fit in. And that's what I did. You know, I didn't go in and trap off. I went in and I was, you know, I think if you go in with the right attitude, you're going to get looked after by people. You know, some people don't do that. You know, they trap off and they don't know who they're speaking to, and before you know it, they've been clumped or whatever, you know. But that's the way the army used to be, because it's the army. It's a man's environment. You know, if you're going to go and cry to your mum and that every time you get punched, there's no point being here.
And in the platoon, I take it there's a range of experience. You're like quite experienced people who've been on quite a few tours, and you'll have yourself, like, you know, when you joined as a relatively new recruit.
Yeah, you've got people who, you know, have been in, like, the army, say, like 7 years or 6 years or 10 years, 15 years. You know, you've got your platoon sergeant who could have done anything from, could have done any range of time. You know, NCOs, newly promoted lance jacks, full screws. You know, a lot of people, when I joined C Company, I think there was only like 4 people who had done like operational tours prior to us going out to Iraq, because everyone else had got out. So you know, and you're a new bloke, and you could be a new bloke for up to 6 months until someone else comes into your platoon, then you're not the new bloke no more.
Are you encouraged to socialise in your platoon?
Yeah, you know, you go out, you know, as I say, like, oh, we're going out on the beer, do you want to come out? So, okay, whatever. You know, you go out, just try and mix in with them until it's just, same with anything. Just go in and just, it takes time.
And when you're going out, are you going out locally to Purbright or into the local towns, that sort of thing?
Yeah, work in Guildford. I think it needs to be more working. You know, there's not really a lot around here. So.
Do you have sort of places that, you know, that you go to? The you know, favourites or whatever, or is it just you'll just go out anyway?
Just tend to go out to some places you like, or you know you'll get in, because a lot of people around here don't like squaddies. So
I was going to say that, because is there a noticeable attitude with some of the establishments that, you know, they're not keen on the idea of squaddies going in there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a hotel in Woking, which on the news, some British squad tried to go in, and as a result of that, they said, you're not you're not starting the extra squad, and that's not being funny. He'd come back from Afghanistan to see his mate had been blown up.
So you slot into your... What kind of duties were you up to when you first joined? What did you get into when you arrived?
You turn up, you go down, you get a bed space, start moving your stuff in, wait for your boxes from Catrick to come down. Go and see the clerk, give him your new details, any change of Mexican address, so forth. And then you start going through the rotation of battalion life, you know, which is chilled out. You'd be doing training every day, might be like, you know, weapon training or going for runs or tabs. You know, in that time, every company has a week of doing duties, which, you know, guard, front gate, front and back gate, well, front and deep cut gate, which you do for 24 hours.
And you're just getting used to it. At that stage as well, when did you join? Was it part two? Was it
2003?
2003. Were you sort of lined up for anywhere at that time, or was it pre-Iraq?
No, no one knew where I was going. It was, the battalion was Trolls Battalion for Bowman, the new radio system, you know, so we spent a lot of time on Salisbury. And it was, you know, we didn't go on tour till 2005, so I spent about a year, well,